previously on Quantum Kickflip.
Gold Star Disaster. You're between a large party lodge and a bright red pool of panic energy drink, facing down the peeler-eyed dreadfly. Surrounding you on all sides are helixes, maves, wolts, and trev-fours. These are alternate versions of yourselves, extracted via the dreadfly slime from choices made differently in other timelines. So what happens next? After all of this, we return back to the ruin that is Opera Ablem?
I'm terribly sorry, but we do have a home to go back to.
It's only a matter of time. You see one of the Daibokins glow and get bigger?
Carcinogen, Hyper Surge 2!
Anomukin.
Well, guess what? I have a middle finger that I'm going to engage.
Check it! And I, like, walk back into the pool. Like the Terminator, just, I'm not diving in, I'm just dragging it.
All of the alternates just kind of, like, melt away in a very, like, soft, non-violent white light.
I'm sorry if I was pushing you back there. You know, you guys did great. We all did.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I think this crew is really good for you.
With every level added to the towers, more weight is being put on the foundations, which is sinking the towers, toxic fog from all over the plane, pooling at the base. And as each new layer is added, you are not escaping the toxic fog. You are exacerbating it.
All of you think back to where you first saw the holographic projection of Triskelion Base, and you realize that Opera Ablem's demise is imminent. Everybody, and welcome back to Quantum Kickflip, a Slug Blaster actual play podcast. My name is Lena. I am your host and your Slugmaster, and with me are some of my best and funniest friends in the whole world who will introduce themselves to you now. Players, as you introduce yourselves, I want you to tell me something that you would tell your past self.
Hi, my name is Michael Vetch, and I'm here playing Walton Wick, the Chill Playbook with the Robot Companion. And I would tell young Michael, you don't need to take all those AP science classes. Please take one single dance class. Join choir. Do anything that helps you with those other artistic skills. You're not going to go into the sciences, Michael.
Hi, I'm Liam. I play Helix Pinnacle, the Smarts Playbook with a hard light board. And I would go back in time and tell my younger self, hey, all the things that you're really, like, confident and adamant and passionate about, chill the fuck out. It's off-putting. but then also all those things that you're anxious about and try to hide and are really self-conscious about, it's fine. Relax. Get confident.
Overall, chill the fuck out vibes.
Meet in the middle.
Literally got to even it out. I was way too confident about the dumb stuff that doesn't matter and not confident at all about petty things that were just, you know, teenage self-consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I would have gone a lot farther and had a lot more friends and a lot better life experiences if I was less abrasive sometimes and more confident other times.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Robin. I play Maveline Zandros, the Grit Playbook with the Photonic Jacket. This is a hard question, because, like, if you go back in time and give yourself a little helping hand, that also, like, changes your whole course. And I like the life I have. So, like, if I change it at all, who knows? It's going to have a bunch of unexpected consequences. That said, I could probably warn myself about the dreadlocks and to not do the dreadlocks in 10th grade. And I don't think that would change my life that much. I think I could probably, I'd be fine with that version of my life, I think.
I didn't know that was a fact.
You blew Michael's mind just
now.
Oh,
my God.
Yep.
Hello, my name is David Ray, and I play Trev 4, the Heart Playbook, and a thing that I would do and tell myself, don't bother with a drama degree. Literally zero people care, and it doesn't do anything, and just start stand-up much earlier. Also, invest in crypto by quickly duck out, 2021.
And as I mentioned, my name is Lena. I am your Slugmaster. And if I could say one thing to my past self, what I would say is everything is going to be okay. You are going to be okay. Also, don't watch horror movies. You don't like horror movies. I get that you're really good friends with a horror movie buff, but you don't need to watch those horror movies. You don't like them. Speaking of talking to your past self, Helix had a little conversation with Helix last episode, and gave him a bit of a mission to try and avert a terrible catastrophe. So let's process that. Let's play some Slug Blaster.
Yeah!
Gold Star Disaster. You have completed your competition with BRB on the Scram Cat, Cran Slam, Kitty Cat hover track. You have successfully neutralized the Dreadfly that had created alternate versions of yourselves to chow down on. And you have just learned a little bit about the imminent doom of Operablum by way of an alternate helix that was affectionately given the moniker Ruined Helix. The four of you are taking some time to process this information in the party lodge of the Kitty Cat hover track. And I think it is like a big, think just luxe log cabin vibes. Of course, being in Popularia, these logs are all like black. And so everything inside is very like colorful to match the black logs of the trees. And it's like, it just like is like pops of color. It's like, cosmic bowling as I'm describing it. Like cross cosmic bowling.
Because this is Wilkie's
and log cabin.
Wilkie's and Scram Cat made it, right?
Yeah. So fuchsia everywhere.
Yeah.
Bright yellow.
Lime green.
Party like
room flooring.
We're playing all the hits. We truly are.
As we're all huddled there being like, oh, what fate have we wrought upon Operablum? It's just cosmic bowling around us.
There's like a moose head, but then dangling from the antlers are two disco balls.
Sunglasses
like,
on the moose.
Sunglasses on the moose. Absolutely. Huge fire. Takes up a full wall, this fireplace. Just enormous. Very warm in here. Mm-hmm. Maybe too warm. I leave that up to you. But you are here in this party lodge, lounged in the cushiest couches in the world after this event.
So yeah, that's the bulk of it. I'm still having a hard time processing what we're doing with that. How are you all feeling?
I can't believe that the Triskelion base is going to be the thing that sinks it. I thought that was finally going to be the first chance for the towers to work together.
I mean, they must not know, but how could they not know, right? Like, that's what I'm struggling with, is like, do they not know what it's doing, and they're really doing this in the spirit of teamwork and collaboration? But how could they be ready to build this whole thing without doing the math and running the numbers? Like, they must know, but then why would they go ahead and build it anyway?
Are all the towers trying to sink themselves, or?
I suspect it's a matter of having difficulty reconciling with an existential threat, adjusting business as usual when you're told it's going to have severe impact on a global scale can be really challenging to accept and understand and wrap your head around. I suspect the towers don't realize quite what they're doing or are cognitively dissonant to what might happen. I want to know who does know. Who did know this? Someone must.
And, like, if they don't know, we have to tell them, right? We have to get the word out that this is what's going on. And even if they do know, we can get the word out to the people. And if enough people know about it, then they can't go ahead, right?
I believe you're correct. I, again, just am concerned about who might know about this. We have had multiple run-ins with vague, shadowy figures of unknown factions, you know, Miper guys enforcing Miper policy that doesn't exist, inter-tower attacks while we've all been out by ourselves. Really, anybody could probably be orchestrating this. So getting the word out could
put a target on all of our backs.
Yikes, well, this isn't something we can dodge in this hodgepodge lodge. We ought to get back home.
What's the play here? Do we just keep this under our hats for now until we figure out how to break the news and who might be angry with us if we do, or do we start trying to get the word out right away? This all feels so big to deal with, and we're just, it's just the four of us, you know?
Indeed. It seems that it would be important to get the message all at once. Perhaps if we can find a way to broadcast it across all the towers, because it may be that
people do know that this is happening and they are taking advantage of it. Because whenever you build up higher, it is more opportunity to sell more units of for workers to go to. But if the workers are being forced out of their homes, they are forced to be more indebted to the towers. It may be very intentional. If we told the workers all at once, it might be better to get a stronger reaction.
I think you're right, Trev, because whatever faction might be organizing this is definitely too big to go to. We need to start from the bottom and work our way up. Brinley's note, if you recall, said don't trust the Arborists and don't trust Shimmer. So those are the first two factions I can think of outside of the Three Towers that would have a vested interest in seeing a entire dimension collapse under its own weight.
Whoa, the Arborists, they're not about sinking dimensions. They're about harmony and balance. They wouldn't do something
but
like this.
But don't they prune garbage dimensions?
Yeah, they may not be looking for this to occur, but they might have more info than what we've got currently.
They protect the greater multiverse, and if that means disconnecting a dimension, that, you know, that's the last possible option, but they're not, they don't destroy it from the inside out. That's not the way they work. I have to believe that this isn't them.
I think you're right. I'm just reflecting on what Brinley told us before she disappeared.
You're right. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. And Maeve sort of continues to kind of wring out the cran slam from her oven. She's been trying to like dry off by the fire, but it's
oh yeah,
just
you're all covered
too
in
drenched
cran
from
cran slam and dreadfly juice.
Yeah.
Like it's a pretty bad scene.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe we head back to Upper Ablem and figure out a plan to tell the people at the bottom and hopefully amplify the message before it can be snuffed out.
Sounds like as good a plan as any.
And with that, you make your way back through the multiverse to your home dimension of Upper Ablem. Move into some cleanup. First, let's take a look at crew style. Shredders, +3 style on runs where you race, chase, or land big tricks. Ultronauts, +3 style on runs where you find a new world or deal with dimensional weirdness.
We shredded that mountain, son!
Yeah, definitely lots of racing and chasing and landing big tricks. And dimensional weirdness, I feel like between, you know, we saw a side of Popularia we've never seen before and the Dreadfly.
Yeah, parallel entities of ourselves. That feels other dimensional in another way than it normally is.
Yeah.
All right. With that, you have filled your crew bank and then some. What are we spending this style on?
I think by this point, it might be worth pumping some of that into our fame track and getting up to the next level there. I think 6 of those style points will take us to major players. You get name dropped routinely and everyone has an opinion of you. 4 factions move further from neutral, gain a 3rd brand.
Amazing. I think that makes a ton of sense given what you have just accomplished with the Kitty Cat Hover Track. So I think for your factions, the 4 that I'm going to move further from neutral are the Wicks, Scram Cat, the Heads, and the Mavens. So the Wicks are going to get a +1, putting them at a +2 with you. Scram Cat is going to take a -1, putting them at -3.
Ooh.
The Heads are going to take a -1, putting them at -2. The Mavens are going to get a +1, putting them at +2. What's your 3rd brand?
We all kind of talked about it here, and I think given recent events and the sort of political situation we keep finding ourselves in, we're going to add Punks, +3 style on runs where you leave your mark or make a statement.
All right. If I'm counting right, you have 7 crew style left. Anything else you want to spend it on?
So yeah, I think for our major players sort of bonus, we get name on a shoe, a custom shoe, hoverboard, deck, etc. +1 hype is going to be less like on specific items and more sort of like a seal of approval by our crew through Wilkie's offerings.
Kind of like an Oprah's book club pick, like a stamp that goes on the Wilkie's products we endorse, maybe coupled with like an article, like a paid ad in Slug Blaster magazine of like, this is the gear and snacks and clothing that Gold Star Disaster can't live without. And each one of us picked like two or three things. And there's now like a whole line, like on the Wilkie's shop, you can filter by Gold Star approved.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah.
And it is just like... just a little gold star on the product. Like it's not a big ostentatious thing. It's just like you see the gold star and you know that that's our pick. Mm-hmm. But they do charge a lot extra for it if it has that gold star on it.
Of course.
Some of the products are basically identical to the non-gold star version, but the gold star will cost you.
Excellent. All right, everyone, clear your attitude and your turbo, clear your slams and any adjectives from any super slams. And with that, let's go into some downtime. Felix, you make your way back to floor 5 to your home in Web Tower. You are exhausted. You are, as previously mentioned, covered in Cranslam and Dreadfly sauce. Mm-hmm. You are, of course, also still red and swollen from your time in the fog. Mm-hmm. It's been a hard day for you, and you are ready to go home and put this day behind you. You open the door, and Bok is sitting on like the low minimalist couch of the apartment. And when Bok sees you, he jumps to his feet.
Helix, you're back.
Yes, Bok, I'm home, and I'm in dire need of rest.
Yeah, I can see that. Can we talk real quick before you do that, though?
I suppose so. What's on your mind?
I've been noticing, I have a cold cloth for you here. Hands it to you. Look, it seems like things have been getting a lot more dangerous for you recently.
Yes, the Pinnacle Project is really putting me through the ringer.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figure. I was thinking that maybe it was about the slug blasting, but I don't think it's just that. I think it's the... this whole new move to you being a variable.
It's precisely that, Bok. Yes, very astute observation. I've been subjected to a great number of tests to evaluate my ability to withstand conditions. And I think this increase in severity is due in no small part to me telling Ginevra, in so many words, to go vux herself.
Oh, well, that's why you gotta be careful about who you tell to vux themselves.
Well, yes, but I'm also not gonna be a pushover. I'm not just gonna get bossed around and told what to do and toe the company line because the powers that be would have it that way, because I'm learning as I get older that people don't know what they're doing or what they're talking about, regardless of their age, regardless of their position in society. Everyone is just a dumb, horny, hungry animal.
Hey,
sorry.
I care about how safe you are. I want you to be okay. You got banged up and you know, with all these wounds and cuts and everything. That's why I wanted to tell you that I have talked to Ginevra and put in a request for move you into the control group. Because the variable group is too dangerous.
You spoke to Ginevra?
Oh, well, I mean, it was I had a form I gave... I filled out a form.
That is absolutely crossing a line. Bok, I appreciate your concern, and I'm certainly grateful for the familial care you've given me for your life, but I am over 18 years old, and I am in a position to make my own choices. I do not need you going around me and messing with my position in the Pinnacle Project. I don't want to be a control there. Bok, you don't understand. I was never a control. I you don't know what that means. I don't think I know what that means. I don't think Sequence knew what that means.
All I know is that when you were in control, it was not as dangerous as what it is right now.
I don't think I was ever in control.
I don't know. All I know is I put in the comments below on the form, I need to protect him.
Yeah, well, you're right about that, Bok. You don't know. So why don't you go hose up some slime and dump it in a vat and leave the pinnacle business to those that have the capability to understand it. Oh my god, I need to get that hands on that form. I need to know what you never know. Jesus. Oh my god. And he's like, starts muttering and like storms off to his room because he's like, he's terrified because he's quite panicked because he doesn't know what this means to him. He's worried whatever happened to Sequence is going to happen to him now.
And with that, you race off to your room, feeling this panic start to claw in your chest, leaving Bok dumbfounded and hurt, standing alone in the center of the living room. Tell me about this beat, Liam.
Yeah, so that was Last Straw, Nuclear War, Scorched Earth, and Words You Both Regret, plus one Slam, Grounded, Broken Device, etc., and one Doom. What does the crew think? And I think the crew might think also what I'm thinking, the one thing I didn't quite sneak into that, oh my god, what's going to happen to me diatribe. We have work to do. We have a society to warn of impending collapse while clandestine forces would see fit to have us not do that. I can't be dealing with Pinnacle Project stuff right now. and Bok has complicated things dramatically. So what does the crew think? I think the crew thinks that I'm not going to be there to help them undo the thing we just discovered.
Does that also mean if this gives you a slam and at the start of every run you roll and you might get a slam, that you could go into next run with both slam boxes full if you roll poorly enough?
Good thing you reset that counter. Better not roll a one.
Yeah. And what are we calling this slam? Under control?
Yeah, I like under control for Doom.
Okay.
Slam, I don't know. I feel like I'm tempted to make it a little bit more like immediate, something like panicked or anxious. Sure. Or something like that.
Panicked. I'm okay with panicked.
Awesome.
So we catch up with Maeve at the Arborist Temple in Operablum. She is not wearing her typical signature arborist robe. She is wearing almost like a bathrobe. Like, it's probably still got some the arborist coloring and stuff. It's provided by the temple, but it's like, you know, what you'd wear on a lazy Sunday kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She has been trying to get the Cran Slam stains out of her jacket ever since the run. and she's been hitting it with laundry orb after laundry orb, and it's just nothing's working.
Can you hit me with some of the, like, alternative methods of laundry detergent that she's tried to use?
Yeah, first and foremost, laundry orbs are how the arborists usually clean all their clothes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She has been reaching out to the members of her crew for advice, and so she's gotten some web laundry slime. Yeah. That she's tried to apply. That didn't take it out either. It turned the slime bright red, but it didn't take the red out of the clothing. She has tried. Kindred has like a really expensive and flashy looking washing machine that you can buy that's like, I don't know why in my brain it's like no one has normal laundry in Operable.
The machine doesn't actually clean the clothes. It just burns it and then buys you new clothes.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she realized that just in the, like, it's on a little, like, her jacket was on a little conveyor belt feeder thing going into the machine as she was reading the manual, being like, all right, and then it burns the clothes. No, that's my signature. And pulled it out at the last second. And so now, with no other options left, she is just hand washing it in a basin of water like a null peasant.
we all wash our clothes in null is in a basin of water.
I specified a null peasant.
Okay, true.
But yeah, it is slowly, like, the red is starting to fade, but it's that kind of thing of, like, you wash it, and then you have to wash it again, and then you have to wash it again, like, each time it's fading a little bit, but it's still not quite back to its normal color. And if you've ever had to wring out a heavy, thick garment like that when you're hand washing it, it's the fucking worst. It's the Vuxen worst. Even with four hands, it's still so hard to wring it out. So she is in the middle of this process, wringing it out for like the fifth time, and watching the water all turn bright red.
Yeah, yeah. Every time it like it's barely getting like a little bit fainter every time, but like it starts bright red, and for the first few, you're like, "Is this even working?"
Yeah.
But it is slowly, slowly starting to run clear.
Yeah.
And as you're going through this process, the orb that you use in your dorm to communicate with other arborists does whatever orbs do when you're getting a call.
Pulses.
Pulses.
Yeah. Yeah, she kind of takes a moment to straighten herself up, because the only person she's ever gotten calls from on this particular orb is Carmina, her forester from back in Thenispar, who brought her into the arborists and who gave her her whole second chance. So she kind of like straightens her hair and makes sure her bathrobe doesn't look too disheveled.
Right.
And then answers that orb. I don't remember if we established how you answer it. She slams it down like a Pokeball. I don't know.
That's about right.
Slams it down
like a Pokeball.
Oh, and you have to rub it like a genie's lamp or like a crystal ball.
Maybe you open it. Maybe it's like you put it, you have it.
She presses the answer button on the orb.
Yeah. And the
what sound does it make?
Nice, very good. The hologram flickers into place, and who you see on the other side is not Forrester Carmina. I think it might be the last person you would expect to call you on an orb. It's K-Jump. Hey, oh, okay, I'm so glad that this worked. Listen, I'm sorry.
K-Jump? How did you get this number? How did you even...
I asked
Do orbs
around.
Even have numbers? I didn't know anyone could contact... What?
I asked around.
Asked around to who? What?
Listen, look, something's gonna... It's gonna come out, and I didn't have anything... I didn't have a say in it, and I just... Look, it's bad, but just... I'm sorry.
What do you mean something's gonna come out? What? You're sorry for what?
I can't... Just don't... I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. I just wanted to tell you something, and now I'm seeing you, and I don't know how to say it. Just remember that, like, it's, I guess it's bad.
Yeah, you keep saying that. What's bad, K-Jump? Listen, I thought we kind of connected on that last run, and maybe we're seeing a little more eye-to-eye than we used to, but you can tell me whatever this is. You can tell me about it. We're dealing with a lot of bad stuff right now. And
I know. It's not a good time, and none of this is a good time. And I didn't say anything about this. It just kind of happened, and then I saw it, and I really gotta go. They're asking about me, but please just don't be too mad.
I mean, I'm getting madder by the minute here, but.
Look, again, I'm sorry. I gotta go. I gotta go. And then the call disconnects.
Maeve is left there, dumbfounded. Three hands in a wash basin and fourth hand still holding this orb. Just trying to figure out, like, what is it that K-Jump is apologizing for? What is this bad thing that's going to happen? And also, what was K-Jump call it? Like, does K-Jump have an orb, or does K-Jump, did K-Jump call on a phone? Cause she said she could see Maeve. So like, is it like some kind of a video phone? And like, how does that connect to the orb?
Mm-hmm.
And she like thinks about that for longer than she should. And then she's like, that's not the important part.
As you're pondering this.
As you're pondering the orb?
Yeah. As you're pondering the orb, your phone goes off.
Not my orb.
Not your orb. Okay. This is your phone.
Okay.
It goes off. And then it goes off again and again, and you realize that you are getting a string of notifications from the Gold Star Disaster social media.
Yeah, she taps on she pulls it up.
It is a series of people tagging you, saying things like, oh my God, are you seeing this? This is ice cold. BRB is out for blood. Maeve disaster, ha ha ha. Lots of fire emojis, some spicy pepper emojis, some skull emojis. There are a few like sympathetic ones of people being like, whoa, this is not okay. Hey, Maeve, maybe don't look or something. But also they're tagging you in this video. All of them are tagging you in the same video.
Yeah, Maeve, Maeve scrolls up through all the comments and back to the video itself and taps the play button.
This is a video from BRB's feed, and it opens with video footage of you on the kitty cat hover track, mm-hmm. and there's a voiceover that you instantly recognize as Drew. The Scram Cat sponsor. He's trying to put on an affectation, but you know exactly who this is.
Excellent. I didn't even have to roll for that.
No. This is downtime, baby.
Can we hear this affectation, though?
Maeveline Zandros claims to be an arborist, but how much of an arborist is she, really? And then it cuts to the footage of you from the Fust show, of you leading doorways in the chant. Forrester Tarmond is a plogy, vorgal, scrod heap, vuxhole. And then it cuts to more footage of you skating through the golden jungle on the same Fust show, and the voiceover kicks back in. She didn't even sign up to be an arborist. You can practically hear the hang loose signs as he's talking. No, this is just her atoning for her crimes. And crimes, like, slams into the screen in giant capital letters.
Jail bars come falling down from the top of the frame.
Gavel sound.
And then the jail bars lift up to Mondo in an interview.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's like, it's not something you normally want to see happen, but, like, sometimes you gotta cross a few lines and, you know, take other people's property. You know, that's what we were kind of about back then. We were rule breakers. You know, me, Decembria, Hans, Maeveline, all of us. We went in, we stole something right from those arborists, those corky vaxes. Oh, what was this interview for again?
It cuts back to more footage of you going through Thenispar, racing K-Jump in the aqueducts. Very pointedly shows K-Jump winning.
Yeah.
And yet, she thinks she can have her cake and eat it too. And then it cuts to an interview of Forrester Tarmond, and he's like, oh, you want me to tell you about Maeveline Zandros? Well, yes, she's, a bit of a hesitant start with the arborist, but she's really proven that she's dedicated to the cause. I'm really quite proud of the progress she's been making. She's really shaping up to be a fine arborist. And then it cuts back to the voiceover. Which is it, Maeveline? Are you a true blue arborist, or are you just stealing their tech for your criminal buddies? And then it cuts to the footage of Brinley. This was the one that, like, outed Brinley as a criminal. She throws something at the frame. It pauses mid-frame. It gets circled in red. And then slamming against the screen in capital letters is ORB with three question marks. And then the final shot is a somewhat unflattering image of you in grayscale, pretty badly filtered. Mm-hmm. And you hear Maeveline Zandros putting the disaster in Gold Star Disaster.
Oh, shit. Like, I hate the content, but respect to the craft. That's, holy shit. It's a solid attack ad.
She'll never get the vote now.
Maeve is left there. The video ends and she's, phone in one hand, orb in the other, two hands still in the wash basin. just furious. Like, she maybe even more so than she would have been otherwise. Because, like, if she had just seen this video and seen all this tag, she would have had questions about, like, why did BRB do this? Like, I thought we were cool with them. I thought we earned their respect. I need to talk to them and find out what's going on here. But the fact that K-Jump called her in advance to apologize means, like, K-Jump knew this was coming and didn't stop it. And maybe, you know, maybe when she settles down, she realizes because K-Jump maybe couldn't stop it and maybe doesn't have that power. But in this mm-hmm. moment, she feels so betrayed. Like all of that progress we made over that run is just gone, and she is furious. And the only thing on her mind is how to get back at them, how to even the score.
Tell me about this beat.
This was Cutthroat in the rivalry beats. Things get way too intense. You're more than rivals now, you're enemies. Minus one legacy, plus one doom, one faction becomes unstable.
I think I'm going to take away Riley Riptide.
Ah. You would. You monster.
What do we want to call this doom?
Let's keep it simple and go with disaster. The tagline from the end of that ad was too good not to reference, so we'll do a doom of disaster.
Sounds good, and the faction that has become unstable is BRB.
I think there's a little bit of upgrading that Wolt is overdue with addressing. I think Wolt makes his way down to Applebeekins, which has its own sort of integrated Daibokin lab. It's kind of just like a shared communal workbench space, but it's set up with proper flooring so you can avoid like static. It's very much like all the stuff you need to work on like a really good PC, but, you know, for Tamagotchis.
Yeah, of course.
But yes, here I will be taking some time to roll a few in the labs, looking for components here. All right, so I spent 5 style rolling a bunch of nonsense.
Because you were aiming for a disc,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and with that, I'm going to be trading away 3 of my coveted coils that I spent so hard working to get to grab that 4th disc I need to unlock Neural Network. Your robot now has the intelligence, communication skills, and common sense of a human child and grows smarter and more independent each day. Mark One Legacy, they grow up so fast.
I think you already had the legacy of Sturge State the first time you unlocked Neural Network, so we're just going to keep that as is.
Yeah.
You finish with this tinkering and with gathering the components that you need and arranging them in just such a way. You close up your Daibovice, and you summon forth Scampikin, who emerges on the table in front of you, looking at you with his little beady shrimp eyes.
All right. Let's see how this goes, bud.
And with that, Wolt data surges Scampikin. And he goes into that 3D modeled sequence. There's glowing seafoam light. He's spinning around. His model is getting bigger and smaller. And he transforms into Carcinogen.
Bolton! You've done it! Legally! You brought me back! Thank you, friend! Thank you!
And Carcinogen, his little crab form, jumps up off the table, wraps his claws around Walt's neck.
Buddy, I'm so sorry. I'm so glad to hear your voice. Is everything okay? Do you remember everything that happened? Are you all right?
I'm perfectly fine. Just took a little time apart in a way. But I do remember it all. I know how hard you've worked. Rolling a bunch of random bullshit. To get me back to who I am. Thank you, friend.
All right, bud. How about some egg creams?
And having been reunited with your Daibokin buddy once more, the two of you make your way over to the bar of Applebeekins to order yourselves some egg creams. And as you get there, you see someone at the bar, looking around as if she's looking for someone. And then she catches your eye and waves you over. It's Olive Fraxinus. But this time, Varpikin is nowhere to be seen.
What, Walt? That was a really tender moment. I saw that big hug. Wow, what a great bond you have with your Daibokin.
Wait, you saw that? Oh, geez, I thought this was frosted glass on the upgrade station. Oh no.
No, it was really tender. I'm frankly,
it's
frosted,
and that the glass is really cold. Says Stuart as he like wheels by.
I'm frankly jealous. That's incredible.
Oh, well, thanks, Olive. Is Varpikin around? Hiding under the floor tiles again?
He's hiding somewhere. He's actually in his Daibovice right now. But I just wanted to talk to you. I haven't seen you since everything that went down at the underground Daibokin tournament. I'm glad to see you're okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry I ran out of that match. What else went down in Splish?
Well, I got caught, had my Daibovice temporarily confiscated. I had to sign a bunch of punishment forms, paid all the fines, and, well, I mean, I'm off the hook, you know, with the authorities now, but ever since they gave my Daibo vice back, Varpakin, I can't even get Varpakin to come out of his Daibo vice.
You just can't summon him up?
Yeah. And I'm the Daibokin champion. I was the Daibokin champion. I guess that's the final punishment was I've been stripped of my title.
No, Olive, I'm sorry to hear that.
Perhaps this is a good opportunity for the two of you to start again. And then you can grow and rise through the ranks. Legally.
I don't know if that's necessarily the best. I mean, I don't doubt I could do it. I am the best Daibokin trainer. But I don't know if that's what I need, if that's what Varpakin needs. I'm starting to think that the stress of, you know, tournament competition and general celebrity life has maybe been a little hard on him. I don't know, maybe I'm grasping at straws, but it just things haven't been the same since we got busted.
He did always seem, I don't know, pretty timid. I guess every Daibokin has their own personality, their own needs that you have to attend to.
It looks like you've really attended to the needs of Karsanikin.
Well, I'm certainly trying to do that a little better now.
Seems to be working, and she, like, tickles Karsanikin's, like, you know, little tenderly fronds coming out of his face. whatever those little mandibles are, but, like, yeah, yeah. The way you tickle a cat's chin. I actually was hoping I'd find you here because I was wondering if you'd be willing to help me get Varpakin out of the Daibo vice and back to trusting me again. You're the only one I know with a bond as strong as the one we had, or I thought we had.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not to try anything. Most of the time, whenever I come here, it's to try and battle, but have you or Varpakin ever tried an egg cream?
I mean, it can't hurt to start.
You buy Olive and Varpakin egg creams?
Yeah, we're not here for Daibokin battling. We're here for Daibokin bonding.
That's beautiful.
We established that there's like a digital version that the Daibokin get.
Yeah, it's like
I think maybe it even comes with, like, when you get it buy a book and you get the download code.
You have to plug in a little dongle into the Daibovice and then a little pixelated egg cream shows up next to them and you see it like empty out.
Delish.
Exactly. And so, the four of you all have this moment of just bonding and helping Olive repair her relationship with her Daibokin, because by her admission, you're the one with the strongest Daibokin bond.
Maybe that's what it means to be a Daibokin champion. A champion of any kind. The bonds with the people who help you get there.
The real championship was the friends we made along the way.
I mean, that's what it says above the bar.
Oh, yeah. That is
giant
their slogan.
Neon sign. You were just reading it.
I knew it sounded familiar. It's also their Wi-Fi password.
The A in way is a Nat symbol.
Tell me about this beat.
That scene was Somehow Works Out, the last beat of the Chill Beats, minus 3 style. And yet, you land on your feet, as per effing usual. Minus 1 doom, plus 1 legacy, plus 1 trait.
I'm going to take away reversion.
Yarr.
As your doom.
That makes sense.
What are we calling this legacy?
I think the legacy will just be Daibokin bonding.
Oh, I like that.
And that'll also unlock the last of the traits I have for the Chill Playbook. Guys? You accidentally notice the stuff everyone else didn't, like hidden panels, perfect skate spots, looming monsters, etc.
Beautiful. Hello there, Gold Star listeners. It's Milena, your Slugmaster Game Blaster. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Quantum Kickflip. You can support us by following us at Quantum Kickflip on social media, where we post new episode updates, audiograms, and more. You can also support Quantum Kickflip by subscribing to us on Patreon. For just $2 a month, you can join the Shredder tier and get access to all new episodes of Quantum Kickflip 2 days early, Or, for $5 a month, you can join the Ultranaut tier and get early access plus exclusive bi-weekly bonus content, such as interviews, outtakes, and so much more. If you subscribe to our Patreon today, you can hear my behind-the-scenes featurette, where I go into detail about everything that went into the Wilkie's Candy Lab run. So you might notice that Wilkie is weird. Weird as hell. And I had to spend quite a bit of time figuring out, who is this man? What is his deal? I don't think he is a man. I think he's some kind of weird demon. And then I landed on something. To listen to this behind-the-scenes featurette and so much more, head to patreon.com/quantumkickflip and subscribe today. I'd like to thank our sponsors at the Alberta Media Arts Alliance Society, whose goal is to advocate, educate, and celebrate the media arts in Alberta. You can learn more by going to amaas.ca. We release Quantum Kickflip bi-weekly, so you can catch the beginning of a brand new run and the beginning of the end of Season 2 on Wednesday, March 20th. Let's get you back to the action. Trev 4, you are making your way through the halls of Kindred Multiversal Megatower because a rental request has been put in for you. This is somewhat rare these days. With your long-term contract with Gold Star Disaster, you are often out and about and not necessarily available for rent.
And nobody wants an old Trev 4 unit.
No, nobody wants an old Trev 4 unit. But, you know, someone apparently does, and so you are, yeah, on one of those rare calls that is not slug blasting related. You make your way through the halls of floor 221, where the bot shop is located. You take a hyperlift going down to 211. Interesting that you're going to an even lower floor, but that's fine. It's still higher than 2. And halfway between 212 and 211, the elevator stops abruptly. It makes several, like, really loud, uncomfortable creaking sounds, and then it just kind of slows down, and then it just stops.
Elevator, are you feeling okay?
I'm sorry, I have been stopped for some reason.
Well, if it's possible, I would like for you to continue. I have a very important job to get to.
I will do my best. A maintenance tech is on their way.
Ah, thank you for your prompt request. You deserve a star. And I, like, bloop onto, like, near
the wall.
Your feedback is noted.
Well, this is fantastic. My favorite thing to do. Wait patiently for instructions.
Several minutes pass, and then the elevator goes, oh, hang on, and then the doors open.
Thank you very much for your service. Is it, like, just at a normal floor? Is it, like,
it's 211, but it is still, like, up above. It's not the awkward halfway where you have to, like, shimmy, but it's like stepping down a big step.
Okay, yeah, it's just kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
So Trev 4, like, kind of crouches down and kind of, like, waddles over and then, like, steps out back to his full height into this floor. Is this the floor he's trying to go to?
Yes, it is the floor that you are trying to go to.
Ah, excellent. Now to find this Mr. Schmenderskin.
And you you quickly consult your database to find who you are meeting. And then when you return your attention to the 360 view around you, directly 12 o'clock, is not Mr. Schmenderson, but Mr. Lufts. Stanch Lufts.
Stanch, I can't believe that you are here.
Oh, goodness. Sorry, Trev. I thought I'd stopped it fully on the floor. I saw you waddle on out of there. It was rather amusing, actually.
Ah, yes, it would be amusing, because I would look like some sort of strange bird that is also a robot man.
You did kind of look like that, Trev. You really did.
Stanch, I am concerned, because it is not good for us to be seen together.
Oh, Trev, I don't think there's any worry about that. In fact, now more than ever, it's probably perfectly all right that we be seen together.
What do you mean? Is Shimmer not giving you trouble still?
Shimmer? Not that I've known at all, Trev. I know you probably think you're rather busy right now, but, well, I put in a fake rental request for you. I am Mr. Schmanderson.
Diabolical.
I can't believe it.
I know you've been hesitant to see me. I've tried to visit you at the bot shop a few times, and, well, Glenzo always says you're out or, well, not under the weather, but, you know, robot things.
Out of service?
Defragging? Updating?
No, Glenzo just says robot things.
It is true that Glenzo does not really understand how robots or computers work.
Maybe one day someone will take over that shop and be able to take on full responsibility themselves. You know, 1 15-minute break at a time. But until then, Trev, I really needed to see you. I had an important update to let you know about.
Yes? What is that?
Well, ever since you helped me out, you've always helped me out, Trev. Ever since we first met, you've always been the greatest help I've ever known. Everything that you've done for me and for Faye, and, well, toward the end of things, you really helped me get back on my feet. And I've spent every day working hard and saving up what credits I can. I hope that this might be a way to help you back on your feet.
And Stanch reaches into his greasy red coveralls, and he pulls out, I guess it's probably not paper,
it's
huh?
It's like a tablet.
It's probably a little official-looking tablet.
Yeah.
This is the tablet for Trev's own registration and warranty.
Trev, I've purchased you. Not for myself, of course. That's nothing I'm looking for. Trev, this certificate is yours. And Stanch hands over the tablet. You're a free robot.
So I do not need to return to the bot shop?
I mean, you're allowed to go and visit if you'd like. I'm sure Glenzo wouldn't mind seeing that smile every now and then, but
he has repeatedly said that he hates my smile.
That does sound like Glenzo, doesn't it?
But perhaps you'd like to see my neutral face every once in a while.
It just might. Trev, what you did for me, it set me free. And I hope this gives you the freedom to do everything that you want, everything that you desire, deep inside your chassis. The deepest desires of your CPU.
Stanch, this is the kindest gift anyone has given me. This could not have been cheap.
It was worth every penny.
Stanch, it has been a while, but I would like to give you a hug as thanks for this very kind gift.
I was certainly hoping that would happen today.
And as the two embrace, Trev is kind of in your ear, Stanch, perhaps you could still help me.
Oh, In fact, I will. The gift doesn't stop here, Trev.
Yeah?
If you wouldn't mind actually following me a little further along on this floor.
Stanch sort of leads you through the level of 211 over to what seems like a more industrial corridor, mm-hmm. toward the edge of the tower, probably perhaps on one of the vertices. And he leads you into a back area up to a very small freight elevator. Mm-hmm. It's about big enough for a single person to step inside. And he opens up the doors, and there's a little banner that just says, "Welcome home, Trev."
Trev, I figured if you're not at the bot shop anymore, you'd need your own place. A bachelor such as yourself, I retrofitted one of these old lifts. It was out of use. It actually runs quite high for a freight elevator, but should give you mobility and a little freedom. Your own pad. And I rigged up a charging port here that will be free from all the updates you need to worry about.
So this is a space for me.
Your very own.
and I can decorate it however I like.
You don't have to keep the banner.
No, I like the banner. It will remind me of your kindness. And Trev goes and looks at this, at the interior, and is looking around. I have a question, Stanch.
Ask away.
How high can I take this elevator?
I am going to cut off the scene there. Trev 4, tell me about this beat.
This is Love Conquers All, the final step on the heart's heartbeat. You make it right, prove your loyalty, do the brave thing, or speak your truth. Your bonds are stronger than ever. And this is a little bit of, I guess, a two-way kind of a thing that happened here. But I get -1 doom, -2 fractures, +1 legacy, and a trait.
All right. Huge.
That's the one that gave you a million dooms and fractures, tons of negative consequences the whole time.
Yeah, it was. It gave you 2 fractures over the course of it. It took away legacy and added doom and stuff like that. Yeah.
I think for the doom, let's take away bad robot. What are we calling this new legacy?
Living by your own terms and conditions.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. Bachelor pad.
You're decorating it like the house from Three's Company, right?
I did want to come back to the aesthetic of your new place, yeah. But we should figure out this legacy. Safety.
Yeah, I think I like welcome home. I think that's a good one.
Nice. And you also, a lot of these arcs end with a beat that lets you choose either a legacy or a trait. This is one of the ones where you get a legacy and a trait. Mm-hmm. So what's the trait you're getting?
Well, I have one left, which is passion. You care passionately about... Now, this is tricky, because I was thinking fixing the system that's when it breaks people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a great thing because I'm not hacking doesn't make sense. I was thinking about you care passionately about sabotage because of breaking the system that breaks people. People like Stanch.
Yeah. And if that feels pretty actionable too, there are specific roles that are going to relate to sabotage. So yeah, I like that. You're going to clear both of the fractures.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have had an opportunity to reconnect with one of your closest friends, Stanch Lufts, and now he's helping you as much as you've helped him. You're a free robot, Trev 4.
Indeed.
Helix and Maeve are meeting at the scrap stack, the Captain Jack's scrap stack crap.
Scrap stack of crap.
Yeah.
Okay. Maeve, this place comes highly recommended from Trev, and I can't wait to get to work souping up our boards, preparing what we need, because time is of the essence.
Yeah, I mean, I keep forgetting this extra clearance we have. We can go anywhere. We can go to Kindred. We can go to Webb. We the doors are open for us. Finally, we've been making big moves, and finally, it's starting to pay off for Gold Star Disaster. But you're right, we don't have a moment to waste.
It isn't, which is why we got to drink more of this panic energy drink they gave us.
Yeah, they're both hitting. they've got promotional cans of the Cran Slam that we got on this last run. Both of them profess to not have any interest in energy drinks, but we were given a bunch of promo cans and we got work to do because we're preparing to reorganize society and save the world.
They
both shotgun a fresh can right away here.
It's like drinking coffee. If you never drink coffee, you're just completely buzzed.
Right, okay, not a moment to lose. We gotta soup up all our equipment and get all our gear on point because we don't know when the hammer's gonna drop. And when the hammer drops, you gotta be ready for the hammer to drop.
What hammer? I got multiple hammers.
I got multiple hammers.
Coming down from the Pinnacle Project. They could be putting me back in the control group.
That's
I could
a
be
hammer.
Having to deal with whatever the Shimmer or the Arborist. Or,
that's another hammer.
I know, exactly, right? And I'm gonna drink another of these so that even if nothing else happens, when the Pinnacle Project tests my biometrics, you're gonna see I'm all jacked up on taurine.
Fucks yeah. Let's do this.
In the lab, rolling quick.
This is the most intense in the lab that's ever happened. Go, 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 go.
Maybelline, this place is great. We've got everything we need. I'm going to finally reinitiate the photon vent. I'm going to be able to roll to create trails of semi-permanent brittle hard light behind me, which float until they fade in space. And you know what? While we're here, look at all this stuff. Look at all this stuff. I'm a kitbash. We've been doing this whole time. I haven't even tried to kitbash yet.
You haven't tried to kitbash?
I'm going to try to kitbash.
I kitbashed a while back. I haven't used it once.
Okay, well, I forget
because it's on a different part of my sheet that I forget that I have it, but I need to use that. Okay, well,
I'm doing a kitbash, and you know what? The sword?
The Mega Friction Sword. Yeah,
the Mega Friction Sword. Okay, I did have it right. Okay, I did have it right. It's an ability called Field Projector. It takes a lens and a coil, and I can roll to temporarily remove surface friction from a room-sized area near me. I think that's maybe just like a mod I can put on... it's a mod he can put on his hoverboard that just like goes like woo and like puts out a field in, again, he always does things in like vertical axis or like, two-dimensional
planes.
So you can either like make the floor extra slippery or make a wall extra slippery. I could make it a cube room-sized area because that's what the rules say, but I like this limitation I've given myself. It is a two-dimensional room-sized area.
Very good.
Because it is a surface, so you know, what do I need up for?
Yeah, oh, that's like from the Nega Friction Sword. That's all. Yeah, you thought you had it wrong. You were thinking Negatana, because that was in season one. But we're in season two now.
Okay.
Mave has drank so much energy drink, she can see the meta-narrative.
I can also see the meta-narrative, but in the fourth color.
Yes. God damn it. I rolled a bunch of in the labs to get what I need, but in fiction, Maeve is going to use that ability that she got from Kitbashed, her voidware pocket. She reaches in there to pull out the component she needs.
Very good. Yeah.
She came to the stack and didn't get anything.
Yeah, she couldn't find one, so then she just reached in. But I'm going to. Yeah, I've got what I need. I found I already had a coil, and then I couldn't find a disc, and then I reached into my pocket and I pulled out a disc, and now I got a coil and a disc. So I'm gonna add a stabilizer to my jacket. It's gonna give me extra potential, extra. It's one boost mechanically speaking.
Amazing. Well, we've got big things in front of us. One way or another, Gold Star Disaster is gonna make its. Its impact on Operablum, I'm starting to crash. I think we only have time for a powerful Predator-style handshake, but with your second hand grabbing the bottom of my forearm.
Yeah, let's do it.
In the lab, montage complete.
So we catch up with Maeve and Walt in Kindred Tower, in a space we haven't seen before. Right now, it just looks like sort of a big... dusty, empty, open. Like, you know when a business moves out of a space, but it hasn't yet become a Spirit Halloween?
Yeah.
And you walk past it, and it's like, just like, you can see the big cavernous open space, and it looks weird, because it's like, that should be filled with, like, shelving and products.
Spirit
but
Halloween
like,
is exactly what I was thinking
yeah.
of, too.
Yeah. So it's got that weird, like, empty storefront look. Except it is not empty. It is rapidly filling up with boxes and boxes as... I don't think, you know, we're in Operablum. There's a bunch of future tech. We're not physically moving boxes by hand. There are robots. There are hover haulers. But they are also, you know, the arborists are centered out of Lansden, which means all this whole operation is Lansden fronted. So the robots aren't, like, smart enough to organize anything. They move from point A to point B.
If a Roomba could move boxes, that's
exactly.
kind of what you're dealing with right now.
Yeah. So Maeve is here to... do all of the tedious, like when you move into a place, like, well, that box should go in the kitchen because that's full of kitchen stuff, and this one should go over here. She's doing that as these robots move a bunch of arborist stuff into the new, soon to be opened and available to all, Kindred Arborist Temple.
what was in this space before, what dumb kindred product was sold or made here.
Ooh.
For that, I'll refer to the expert, because Walt is also here. He has agreed to help Maeve with this task, and he, him being the kindred boy, he would know.
Yeah, I guess what floor did they manage to secure a space on?
Ooh, I want to say it's something similar to what they secured in Lansden Tower, which, if I remember correctly, was in the fours somewhere. So I could see it also being in the, like, mid to high fours.
If it's big enough to hold what is now a church, maybe it was like an appliance store and it's the same place that would have sold the washing machine that didn't work. Like, not literally, but like, yeah.
That's fun.
Like kindred appliance, they got other dumb kindred appliances.
Yeah, this did just used to be a Best Buy.
Very good. So yeah, Maeve is trying to direct these hover haulers to take things to the right places, but it's also frustrating because every box you open up is just full of orbs, but you have to figure out what kind of orb they are to figure out where in the temple they need to go.
Wait, sorry, Maeve, did you say we were putting the metallic orbs on the webward wall?
Which metallic ones? Because if it's the metallic stripe around the middle with the translucent outside, that's going on the webward wall. But if it's the metallic outside with the translucent stripe down the middle, that should be over towards the Lansden side.
Wait, these are metallic spots. Is that landward? Or
I don't even know what those would be. There has got to be a better system than orbs for everything.
I know one way we could figure out what it's for.
As he tosses it up and down playfully in his hand. Oh, we really shouldn't. I mean, that could be anything from, you know, it might just be full of robes that's how they pack them to bring them. But it also might be like a weapon.
Wait, is this Maeveline Zandros backing away from an opportunity to abuse some tech?
Maeveline Zandros backs down from nothing. Let's just, you know, take it somewhere where it won't cause too much problem if it explodes.
Crimes.
I think you go out to, because in the Aetherium Temple in Lansden, there are courtyards, quote unquote,
yeah,
which is just areas that are slightly more open than the other areas of the temple.
Yeah.
So you take it out to like the courtyard equivalent of the Kindred Temple. It's slightly, the ceiling's higher.
This is where for some reason they used to do vehicle audio in the Best Buy, but like you have no idea how long ago that was.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, guess let's see what it does. You want to do the honors? This was your idea.
All right, I'll bite.
Roll a d6.
I have rolled a 4, and based on the impromptu table that we threw together here in the moment, that orb bounces a couple of times and then hits the floor and just explodes into vibrant fuchsia paint. it covers like a bunch of the floor and part of one wall, just like out in all directions. This is a paint orb. You're meant to like, you know, throw it at the center of the wall and it will perfectly paint the entire wall with very little dry time needed and no brush strokes.
Yeah.
But not knowing that, we have thrown it haphazardly. So it's just kind of like a paint explosion all over one corner of this room in bright fuchsia.
Did any of it get on Maeve?
I'm going to roll another d6.
Yep, perfect.
2.
You are covered in paint.
What about Walt?
Walt, roll a d6. You are covered in paint.
We rolled 2. We both rolled 2s. That's doubles together.
Each of you mark half a style for Steezy.
Fuchsia's in this season.
Maeve sort of blinks and wipes the paint out of her eyes with one hand. And it's like, I just got this robe clean. I just got all the crayon slam out of this foxy robe. She wipes some more paint off of her face and hucks it at Walt. He's already covered in paint. This does, adds nothing, but
yeah.
But she playfully throws paint at him anyway.
Here, let me see if I can help. And Walt walks up and he takes his thumb and he wipes the paint off her lips and then he kisses her.
They're locked in this kiss for a moment and it's very, very romantic and very beautiful. And then Maeve pulls out of it and is like, Oh, it does taste kind of like paint, though. Yep.
That's some industrial stuff.
So tell me about this beat.
This was a joint being good scene. Michael and I both wanted to do a being good scene, and we decided that at the same time we'd have a little date.
You know, a paint night.
A paint night.
Oh, very good. Because of your diligent ability, Maeve, you get to clear three trouble for the price of one style.
Sure do.
Trev returns to the bot shop. It's been soon after this conversation that he had with Stanch, and takes a moment and like looks at the bot shop. He's got his tablet beside him that has his registration and everything, and walks into the bot shop. Glenzo is one of the rare times where Glenzo is actually at the desk. Glenzo, hello. It is I, Trevor.
Trev! Hey, you're late. Are you late? Or maybe you're early. Wait, I need to find a schedule.
It turns out that I am no longer under your employ.
Well, you were never really under my employ, per se. I just kind of owned you and then rented you out. Like, I never paid you. You knew you weren't getting paid, right?
That is correct. I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. Look, I am back to say,
because if I had to pay all these robots, like, that would not be in any way profitable for me. Like, the only reason that I'm making a buck here is because I get, you know, the free labor of all of these robots that I rent out to people. That's the racket.
It's not a living.
I have never fully realized that is what is happening. I will sit on that. In the meantime, I have come to inform you that, you no longer own me.
Wait, that can't be right. Hang on. I was on break earlier. Brayton, is that true? Did somebody buy Trev?
It is true. Trev 4 has been purchased and is no longer property of this bot shop establishment.
Well, I wouldn't have signed off on that if you did. Wait, did you gouge him? Did you charge him way more than he's worth?
Only a little bit. He was very nice.
All right, well, as long as he gouged him at least a little, I guess that's fine.
Excellent. I thought that since you have given me a place to stay for so long that I would like to clean up my spot before I go. And if I may, I would also like to purchase the scrubber bot that always cleaned me.
Now, hang on a minute. I mean, you being sold is one thing. Nobody wants an old Trev 4 unit except for that weirdo slug blaster crew that you're rolling with, and frankly, we had a standing contract that the last couple of payments have bounced, because we set that up with the one, Briny, what was her name? Bronson? And I don't know what happened, but her card has not been going through lately, so I was going to actually bring that up with you, but I guess that's a moot point now. But Scrubberbot is a valuable part of this operation. He scrubs the bots. That's why they call him that. If he's gone, who's going to scrub all the bots?
Well, perhaps you can work more.
With these delicate hands? Are you kidding me? I just got a manicure. That's my thing. I'm big into manicures and pedicures.
Scrubberbot's hands look like this, so Glenzo's hands can look like this.
Exactly!
Well, how about I offer you this, and I like show a credit amount that it's from all this Wilkie money that we have. How about this amount?
Ooh, okay. I shouldn't be doing this because I am all about making a profit, but you realize that for that amount of money, I could turn around and buy two more new scrubber bots instead of that one janky old scrubber bot that. So by extension, you could take that money and go buy yourself two new scrubber bots. You don't need to buy this. Like, you see what I'm doing? I'm tipping the bid. I'm losing out on a deal. But, we have a history, and I got to tell you, you could get a lot more for that amount of money than what I'm going to gouge you.
I do appreciate the honesty. However, this is not just any scrubber bot. This is my friend,
That doesn't make sense. It's a scrubber bot. They're interchangeable. But yeah, you don't have to tell me twice. And he boops his tablet on your tablet or whatever we do for money in this wild world we've created.
As you've been having this conversation, the scrubber bot has actually emerged from the back room and has slowly been making its way up your leg. And so by the time you finish the transaction, it's like perched on your shoulder.
It's like a little scarab, right? Like it's like a little...
Pictured like if you take like the kind of brush you would use to scrub a bathtub and turn that into a robot, that is what is in my head.
I thought we were all picturing the scrubbing bubbles from the scrubbing bubbles.
I was too, but with scarab legs.
Yes, okay, I got you.
I proceed over. We are going to do one last cleaning job for Glenzo, and then you will return home with me. And we spend the time cleaning up the space and all that kind of stuff, and then walk out the bot shop. And don't look back, because he doesn't need to, because he has 360 degree vision. And he is looking at it longingly, and then turns back back forward, his attention forward, and heads off to his new home with his old friend.
Tell me about this beach.
It's actually a combination of two. I am spending 4 style for redemption. Who makes the first move towards forgiveness? What's changed? How will you treat each other differently now? So basically that's the whole clearing things up and, saying goodbye. He could have not returned, but I thought it was important. -2 doom, and I get +1 legacy or trait. I already have, all my traits, so it'd be another legacy. And then I also did, being good and spending some style to reduce my trouble.
That is a good call, because you had a lot of trouble.
So I'm spending the 2 style to get 4 trouble taken down.
Excellent. Can we say that, like, maybe one of those aspects of being good is, like, maybe you give Scrubberbot a little polish, like a
it was upgrade. I was going to, like, give the Scrubberbot, like, his own little room or whatever.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
It's got like a little terrarium with the scrubber bot.
You'd take out the what used to be the button panel and built in a little tank for him.
I'm going to get rid of error report and no time for your dooms.
Because they related to the bot shop.
And you went from like 15 dooms to 1. You are in a good place, my friend.
And then I have a legacy. I don't know what that legacy... would it be like independent? Just like a straightforward... Because now he's like officially... He's got no connection to the bot shop anymore. He's fully his own.
He's got a place. He's got a pet.
Yeah.
You're on break. I like independent.
I have a question about if Trev is leaving the bot shop and never looking back. In amongst that cleaning up with Scrubberbot and like clearing out his space, did you go back to that secret panel where you had kept all your little keepsakes and where you found your ice chip and clear that out?
Well, that was never in the bot shop. That was in like a faraway hallway, because he was trying to hide it from everybody.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So
that makes sense.
He would still have access to that.
That makes sense.
But you know what? I think he does go and pick up all of his stuff, because now he can display it however he wants.
He has somewhere to put it all. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go back and you get, old movie posters that you actually remember seeing the movie now. Yeah.
And the ball that he had and like all the little trinkets.
And the hover stabilizers that belonged to Faye.
Yeah.
And with that, we go to the final scene of this episode. All throughout Operablum, a new announcement plays, taking over the screens within the towers and dominating the giant LED billboards along the outer central walls. The starting line is different for each tower, though the message is the same. In Kindred, Kindred Multiversal Megatower is about to become so much more. In Lansden, the restoration of Operablum is closer than ever before. The three towers are uniting to create a brighter future. In Web, we adapt. We grow. We evolve into something greater than we were. In all three towers. Introducing Triskelion Base.
The footage shifts from bustling crowds, clasping hands, and sweating cybernetically enhanced athletes to a sprawling overhead shot of the three triangular towers. It zooms in dramatically between the towers and hovers at around the 700th floor, revealing the start of construction for Triskelion Base. The digital billboards illuminate steel suspension cables that spiderweb out from the towers, joining in the central point between the three. Underneath, concrete supports have begun to grow out from the tower walls, reaching toward their other half, only forming the implication of an arch for now. Between the incomplete arches and sagging steel cables, the base is in progress. It's more complete, closer to the towers, and as it approaches the central point, more rebar, scaffolding, and open air is exposed. The camera weaves artfully through the site, highlighting the craftsmanship of the construction and projecting stunning images of the completed project. In the towers themselves, the excitement is palpable as the topic of Triskelion Base dominates conversation. The digital world of Operablum is flooded with shared images, video, and articles of the project. Reactions range from jubilant to apprehensive. Many are rightly concerned about the accessibility of the base, given that construction starts at floor 7. Nonetheless, the response is overwhelmingly positive, as the towers exalt Triskelion Base as the beginning of a truly unified Operablum. Meanwhile, encrypted messages from Gold Star Disaster are sent to social media accounts, texted to private phone numbers, and written down and tucked away in hiding spots. The message differs depending on the individual sender, the recipient, and the delivery location, but the core of the message is the same. Operablum is in danger. We need your help. Meet at Trinity Municipark on floor 198. Tell no one.